Montana Talks with Aaron Flint. This is where Montana talks.
All right, lots of business news to cover here on this Monday morning. Is today technically that Cyber Monday? Who cares anyway? Shop local. Whether it's Cyber Monday or whatever, just shop local. Hey, let's jump right into it here. We've got Evelyn Pyburn from the Big Sky Business Journal on the phone lines with us right now. Evelyn, hope you had a happy Thanksgiving. Where should we start here on this Monday?
Well, I guess we could start with the bad news first.
Don't tell your husband. He's always saying, "Hey, start with the good news." But we'll get to some good news though. That's all right. Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, Montana taxpayers, property taxpayers, are apparently going to get another bill as a consequence of the judge's decision that was brought by the Montana Counties Association against the state. The bill, the lawsuit followed the fact that most of the counties refused to bill property owners for the 95 mills that the state claimed that it needed and wanted and had the authority to levy. And after 49 of 56 counties, which included Yellowstone County, decided they would assess property owners 77.89 mills instead of the 95 mills that the governor wanted, they took back to court because the governor, first the governor filed a suit against Missoula County for doing that, and then the MACO filed this suit. And the Supreme Court said that the state does have the authority to set its own mill levy, and that the 95 mills is sound, that they have to collect this from the property tax owners. And so property tax owners will be getting a bill for that difference in the mills. And there's been discussion about whether or not this impacts the schools, but these 95 mills were set a long time ago, shortly after the legislature and the court said that the state had to fund schools equally. And I don't know what happened here, but the general fund now makes that funding available to the schools, and the 95 mills and this decision does not really affect school funding at all. So, that's the bad news.
Yeah, it's interesting because from day one, I heard from State Senator Greg Hertz about this, and he said, "Look, I'd love to set the mills lower than 95 mills, but the bottom line is you had a liberal court force the state to say no, you cannot lower the mills lower than 95 because we have to have equalization of school funding." Now, whether the money technically goes right into the schools or into the general fund or not, symbolically, the liberal courts forced property taxes to remain at this level at the state. And that's basically what the liberal Supreme Court has now reaffirmed. Anyway, stand by. We'll talk more about this with Evelyn Pyburn right after the break.
Here is your Montana news. Private security personnel detained an assailant after he tried to brandish a handgun. This altercation happened at midnight Saturday on the 200 block of Broadway in downtown Billings. Security responded to a domestic disturbance where the male suspect intended to hit a woman. The suspect then fought with the security. Colerate reports that when the attacker produced the gun, one of the security guards took away the weapon. When police officers arrived on scene, the man was handcuffed and ready for arrest. He faces three charges of assault with a weapon and concealed carry while intoxicated. A federal judge has significantly shortened the state's wolf trapping season to protect grizzly bears that have not yet begun hibernating. The season could have started as early as today and run through March 15th. U.S. District Judge Donald Malloy shortened the season to January 1st through February 15th. He said it's reasonably certain that almost all grizzly bears will be in dens then. Grizzly bears are listed as protected under the Endangered Species Act, and the act prevents states from authorizing activities that are reasonably likely to kill, trap, or capture a listed species. The state plans to appeal the injunction. That's the Montana News Minute. I'm Travis Lee.
Here's a look at your real weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunny skies across the region today, high temperatures will stay up around the lower 40s across the region. For tonight, clear to partly cloudy, lows from around 20 in Bozeman to the mid-20s in Billings. And then for Tuesday, back into more sunshine and more mild weather. Mid to upper 40s for highs. On Tuesday night, clear and quiet, lows from 20 in Bozeman to the mid-20s in the Billings area. This is Weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
I love this song.
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love? A ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, I'm messaging these guys right now. A couple of really interesting stories in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet. Cool news story out of Bozeman, Montana, that could really help our refineries, especially on the political front here. So we'll get to those good news stories here in just a second. But first, back to this whole 95 mils discussion. Governor Greg Gianforte issued this statement after the Montana Supreme Court in a unanimous decision basically reaffirmed that, yes, the state has to set these mills at 95, or I don't know if they have to, but at least saying the state has the authority here at 95 mils. And this is deals with your property taxes and how property taxes are collected. Governor Gianforte said, quote, "I appreciate the Montana Supreme Court bringing clarity to the law around the 95 public school mills, which the state collects and returns in full to school districts. Today's decision reaffirms what has guided us. We have an obligation, both constitutional and moral, to ensure each Montana child has access to a quality education, and we will not defund our public schools. Ultimately, property taxes are too high. In the short term, our $1,350 property tax rebate provides the average Montana homeowner with relief that more than offsets property tax increases this year and next." So anyway, that was a reaction from the governor. But this news broke just before most of us headed out for the Thanksgiving holiday. Yet, Evelyn, I guess when I really saw the writing on the wall that the liberal Montana Supreme Court was going to basically keep the mills at 95, I was interviewing, we had a Democrat representative, Jonathan Carlin, out of Missoula in studio with us here on the show. And I asked him, I said, hey, if you had to vote on this 95 mil thing yourself, how would you vote? And he said, well, I support funding for schools, so yeah, I would vote to keep the mills at 95. And I'm like, there you go. The liberal Montana Supreme Court is not going to change the 95 mills debate because to them, whether the money directly comes from the general fund or not, they see it as a school funding issue, so they are not going to give the state or these counties flexibility on it. So I guess I saw the writing on the wall early on with this one.
Yeah, I guess I thought that maybe the county, because, you know, that is, they represent Montana. So I thought the fact that most of them were opposed to this and all of them wanted to lower the taxes because, you know, the whole state is being slammed with these higher taxes this year. And so I guess I thought that the counties would win out. But when you were talking about where this 95 mils came from and everything, I remember at the time that the courts pretty much dictated that the legislature had to do this. And, you know, I remember thinking, this is not right. You're supposed to have this separation of powers, and you had the courts telling the legislature what to do. And that's how this all came about.
So. Yeah, because you have a right to an education. So therefore, we as these justices on the Montana Supreme Court, we get to decide what is an appropriate funding level. And yeah, it was like, look, once again, if you judges want to be legislators and you want to be appropriators, then run for the legislature. But that's not your job as a justice on the Montana Supreme Court. It's just like this whole absurd right to a clean and healthful environment. Where do you draw the line? Where do you set the line? I mean, you know, like when the Democrat candidate for governor drove from Kalispell to join us here in our studios, like when he could have just called in from his house, like, did he violate our right to a clean and healthful environment by driving here? Because his kids are in the lawsuit claiming that Montana is not compliant with the right to a clean and healthful environment because of climate change. So why did you drive here then? You know, I mean, it's just, where do we draw the line? It's so absurd. But yeah, here you go. The liberal Montana Supreme Court supports higher property taxes, as we expected, which is why I think the governor was not trying to get in the middle of this fight and look like he was defunding schools in a fight that was eventually a losing battle anyway with the Supreme Court.
Yeah, I think they deliberately dovetailed this to a school funding issue. Because it really wasn't. It isn't a school funding issue. But I think that they needed to do that in order to win public opinion for keeping the mills high.
Meanwhile, though, what I do see as a school funding issue is supporting coal mining. If we support coal mining in Montana, that helps fund our schools. In fact, there were two headlines from Tom Lutie in the Billings Gazette, again, just before the Thanksgiving weekend. Montana school funding gets unexpected boost from coal. This was like $161 million in unexpected funding for public schools in Montana from a coal mine. And yet the liberal Montana Supreme Court vacated a coal mine expansion permit for the Rosebud Mine. So there you go. The liberal Supreme Court will reject school funding by supporting a coal mine, but by golly, they'll raise your property taxes to help pay for schools, at least the way they spin it, right?
Right. Montana should have no problem with funding schools because all of the money that they get from state lands, which is a huge, huge amount. I don't know what that is right now, but it is a huge amount. And every time, historically, that anything has been attempted to be done to make these lands more profitable and generate more money, it's usually been stopped in one way or another by environmentalists or somebody. But, you know, a while back, I think when Schweitzer was the governor, there was reports that of the total value of the land that the state owns, only a very small, less than 5%, it might have even been 1%, generates the money.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
2023 has been challenging for farmers and ranchers. David Vidmar is an economist with Agricultural Economic Insights, and he shares more on some of the bigger stories of the year.
One of the big stories is declining net farm income. Big headline shocker there, but still historically high. So we've got to balance those two narratives. It's not been as good for all parts of the country. The Midwest and the Corn Belt have done really strong the last 3 years collectively. So 21, 22, 23 are the best three-run average that we've had since the 40s. So the best 3 years in most of our careers. Now, on the other side of the narrative, we have commodity prices that have trended lower, especially on corn the last few years. Another year of below trend line yields. And of course, interest rates, really not necessarily the short-term rates that the Fed adjusts at their meetings, but we're really watching these long-term rates.
Volatility will likely continue into 2024.
Acreage, there's always an acreage reallocation. And one of the things that happened in 2023, we had a lot of corn acres and a little bit of soybean acres, and that's resulted in this imbalance in ending stocks. So corn ending stocks are above the long-run average, closer to 15% instead of the average of 13%. Soybeans are closer to 5 or 6% instead of the long-run average of 8%. So we need to see some acreage reallocation. So producers are going to need to keep an eye on that relative price ratio and how that's going to impact their budgets.
He added that fertilizers came down a lot, and that's going to benefit corn budgets quite a bit. I'm Wayne Northland.
Montana is talking here. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Evelyn Pyburn making a really good point there, right into the break. Right, we ran right up to that hard break there, and she's making a great point that, you know, you think about all the money that our state lands generate for schools, and that's just a tiny sliver of that state land that's actually being utilized to deliver that pile of money for our schools. So imagine if we took greater advantage of our state lands to raise more revenue. Think of that. Anyway, this piece by Tom Lutie, Montana public land leases produced an unexpected $161 million for public schools in that last fiscal year. So apparently that was the total amount for the last fiscal year. But the big driver to that was an unexpected $37 million increase in revenue that primarily came from coal money. So there you go. By supporting coal, you also are supporting our schools. Evelyn Pyburn, let's see, switching topics here. You've got a couple of very interesting stories in the Big Sky Business Journal hot sheet this morning. Really interesting story out of Bozeman, Montana with MagDrive Technologies. Tell us what you found.
Well, this is amazing considering that this company is located in Bozeman. They have revealed that oil and gas refineries can henceforth reduce their emission footprint by 62% through the adoption of this new technology called magnetically actuated valves. MagDrive claims the technology will bring true zero emission components to a number of different industries, including oil and gas, energy, nuclear, aerospace, and cryogenics. And, of course, this is being seen as a significant leap in industry's efforts to meet climate change regulations. And MagDrive CEO Nick Runyon will be presenting the technology and explaining it at a conference in Dubai on December 3rd. And I'm certainly no mechanical whiz of any sort, but they say that the MagDrive technology is a magnetically actuated valve drive capable of producing torque. But I do understand that if you can, if all these industries can reduce their emissions by 62%, which apparently is easily done, and they don't have to do any big reuse or rebuilding or anything. It's just switching out equipment. And it saves the industry's money, too. So it just seems to me this is going to be a world-changing technology. And in a way, it's not too surprising because industry, human ingenuity, we have been always reducing, I guess you would call it emissions, but always making use of energy much more efficient.
Improving efficiency, yeah.
All the time.
No, this story is fascinating. And actually, during one of the breaks, I pulled up the company website to see if we could get maybe the MagDrive CEO, Nick Runyon, to join us on the show to talk a little bit more about it. You know, agree or disagree with the whole climate change agenda and carbon emission reduction agenda. The fact is that there's a demand for it. This is a company that can meet that demand. But it sounds like even put the climate change agenda aside, that some of these companies are forced into having to play the game. Even put that aside, it sounds like this would drive some efficiencies and save these refineries money anyway. And, of course, we got three refineries right outside our studio windows that we can look at right now, and then more in Great Falls and across the Pacific Northwest. So a Bozeman company could deliver a big product for them, and it's going to be presented in Dubai here coming up December 3rd, which is, this Sunday or Monday, I think. So very interesting story. It reminds me of the G2 story, Brian Siebel and Billings-based G2it, where you go into the oil fields or the Bakken or elsewhere, and oftentimes you'd see a big flame coming up, and people would say, "Oh, is there a fire?" No, they're flaring the excess gas when you pull out oil from the ground, from these oil wells, you also end up pulling out gas at the same time, too. And so they would flare, they would burn that gas off as they were pulling the oil out. Well, G2 had created this technology that would capture that natural gas. Now, from a global warming standpoint, they would argue, oh, you're flaring, you're increasing your carbon footprint. But the common sense thing is, well, hey, we'd rather not flare it off. It was more efficient back in the day to flare it off instead of capture it. But hey, if we can capture that natural gas and then use that natural gas and also sell that natural gas, well, let's do that. So it just makes sense. This seems to be like a similar type of concept here. Evelyn, can you stand by for a few more minutes? Because you've got another very interesting story about wind turbines. And you guys know, when it comes to these big wind farms, I think they're ugly. I think they ruin our beautiful big sky country skyline. But this is interesting. Why aren't they made out of wood so we can recycle these things afterwards? I mean, if you guys claim to be helping the environment, why aren't you helping the environment?
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. A fourth exchange of hostages held by Hamas for Palestinians held in Israel is expected today, part of a four-day ceasefire deal scheduled to expire tomorrow morning.
We know the Qataris and the Egyptians are working overtime today to try and get this deal expanded. The initial agreement says that 10 hostages would have to be released for every additional day that sees a pause in fighting.
Fox's Trey Yanks, the 48-year-old man's arrested in the shooting of three Palestinian college students in Burlington, Vermont.
Jason Eaton is in custody in connection with the shooting of the three men who were all 20 years old and wearing black and white Palestinian keffiyeh scarves. Investigators say the men were walking near the University of Vermont when they were confronted by a white man with a handgun who, without speaking, fired at least four rounds, hitting the men.
Fox's Tanya J. Powers, two of the shooting victims are American citizens, the other a legal resident. America's listening to Fox News.
All right. Well, this is kind of like a Thanksgiving debate here. Is it pecan pie or is it pecan pie? I think if you're a Southerner, it's always pecan pie. But anyway, that was a big Thanksgiving debate we had. I don't know if you want to weigh in on that debate there, Evelyn. Is it pecans if you've just got the nuts, but if it's in a pie, now it's pecan pie? I don't know if you've got an argument on that one, but I was thinking the same thing here. You've got a headline, wood blades for turbines, for wind turbines, or is it turbines? Wind turbines or wind turbines? Either way, very interesting story here.
Yes, this German company has come up with wind turbine blades made from wood, which is significant because a little recognized issue with wind energy is that turbine blades last only 2 or 3 years, and then they go to the landfill. As many as 14,000 blades are put into landfills every year because they are too difficult to recycle. But this new product made from wood is recyclable, biodegradable, and it will burn if necessary. They're called Vudin blades, and they are made from a high-tech laminated lumber made primarily of glass fiber, reinforced plastic, and balsa wood, which are bound together with epoxy or polyester resin. So the company named Fraunhofer Institute for Wood Researchers. So anyway,
you got to use a German accent when you do that. The Fraunhofer Institute for Wood Research, something like that.
The blades are also 20% cheaper than standard blades. But I'm thinking, what? You know, this is like sticky notes. Why didn't I think of that?
I know. Well, it just makes sense because this is kind of one of those stories like, oh, if you guys claim to care so much for the environment, why don't you care for the environment? I mean, you know, we still have to burn a bunch of coal and natural gas to make up for the wind and solar that doesn't keep the heat on in February and 40 below for us. So, you know, are you really doing anything? But then on top of it, like these, you use massive amounts of cement to create these wind farms, the base structure, and then look at these big hunks of metal or whatever they're made from, and then how much copper are going inside of those things. So, yeah, at least with this, I mean, you know, they could make them out of wood that could be then repurposed for construction or whatever else, and apparently they're cheaper than the other blades.
Yeah, and you're not supposed to count all of those other things, the metal, the cement and stuff, and the emissions evaluation. You're not. They don't do that. So that's
right.
How they.
That doesn't pile up. That doesn't pile up with the carbon emission footprint, that's for sure. Well, I'll tell you what, check it out. Just another reason to sign up for the Big Sky Business Journal Hot Sheet. Lots of great headlines here. Don't know how you do the voodoo that you do, but Wooden Blades out of Germany has created some wood blades, and they're cheaper. That's a very interesting story. Evelyn Pyburn, always appreciate your time. Great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for being with us here every Monday.
Follow in this man's baby steps, and you too can give your debt-free scream. Dave Ramsey, each weeknight starting at 9 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks. With Aaron Flint.
All right. Phone lines are open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Yeah, you got something on your mind or you just want to jump in on the conversation, give us a ring, 406-294-0970, or you can message us on our Montana Talks app as well. John Jackson's coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. Now, normally he joins us every Tuesday, but tomorrow is Giving Tuesday. So Giving Tuesday, great opportunity to give to your favorite charitable organization, your favorite nonprofit organization, your favorite service organization, however you want to refer to it. Tomorrow is officially Giving Tuesday, and so we're going to be doing a radiothon for our friends at Warriors in Quiet Waters and the great work that they do. For our warriors all across America, but we just have such an honor being here in Montana to have, you know, the Montana founded, the Montana home for Warriors in Quiet Waters, but really they're helping warriors from not just here in Montana, but all across the country. So that's what we're going to feature for Giving Tuesday. We're going to be doing a radiothon tomorrow with a whole bunch of great guests from whether it's veteran alumni who've gone through the program or some very interesting business folks who serve on the board for the organization, you name it. So that'll be coming up for Giving Tuesday. So we had John join us here on this Monday to get things up and rolling for us. Let's see. A lot of ground that I want to cover coming up in the 8 o'clock hour with John Jackson. The hour always flies by, so let's do a little show prep here in this 7 o'clock hour. So that way, when we start jumping right into the conversation in the 8 o'clock hour, we all got the background here. So let's do a little bit of background show prep for our 8 o'clock hour here. First, I want to get John Jackson's take on this story here. The pretty little prime minister, Justin Trudeau, the radical left-wing Justin Trudeau. You remember the guy who, you know, basically became this totalitarian regime leader, especially during, he loved COVID-19 and the power that it gave him. And remember, you had peaceful truckers in these freedom convoys, and boy, he cracked down on them. But if you were a BLM rioter, peaceful trucker, bad. BLM rioter, good in the Trudeau government. He's the guy who said how much he really admired the communist Chinese and their ability to just make decisions and force people to do what they wanted them to do. He really was just jealous of Xi Jinping in China. And so when he got to be a little mini Xi himself, in the COVID-19 years, Trudeau just absolutely loved it. Well, Trudeau apparently is starting to get some significant opposition in Canada. So he's blaming the MAGA conservatives in America for this rise in conservatism in Canada and for the questions that conservatives in Canada are now raising as well. This was on Fox and Friends, I think over the weekend.
The real story is the rise of a right-wing American MAGA-influenced thinking that has made Canadian conservatives, who used to be among the strongest defenders of Ukraine, and I'll admit it, turn their backs on something Ukraine needs in its hour of need.
It appears that Justin Trudeau is concerned about MAGA infiltration in Canada instead of, I think, commie infiltration, which he seems to be the leader of.
That's right, Rachel. He is taking, I guess, a page out of Joe Biden's book, a very unpopular politician in desperate straits. And so what he does is try and divide and conquer. He tries to demonize conservatives. And in Canada, you can't get more demonizing than to compare them to Trump supporters in America. And look, Justin Trudeau has just been named by his people as the most unpopular president in 50 years. And he's lying to them again. The reason that the Conservative Party in Canada rejected that bill for Ukraine is because Justin Trudeau tried to slip in a carbon tax, to saddle the Ukrainian people with a carbon tax. And, you know, there's a very sort of insurgent and risingly popular opposition leader in Pierre Poilievre. Viewers might remember him as the guy with the apple who was just smoothly taking apart a journalist recently who was asking him ridiculous questions. And he's obviously surging in popularity, and all that Trudeau has is to try and liken him to Donald Trump, as if that is going to somehow fix his own problems. As usual, these politicians on the left do not look at themselves and the terrible policies that have impoverished and damaged their citizens. They just try and point the finger at the other side.
Yeah, anyway, there you go. Yeah, Justin Trudeau, if you don't support a carbon tax, you don't support Ukraine, you're a Putin puppet unless you choose to carbon tax yourselves. God, the guy is nuts up there. Oh, but the liberal media just loves the pretty little Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. Molly Hemingway also made a very interesting point. Molly Hemingway with the Federalist was on Special Report on Fox News as well. And of course, we are your Fox News affiliate here on 970 KBUL Billings, 1450 KMMS Bozeman. She made a good point that basically what you are seeing is this frustration that we are funding an endless war. You know, Trudeau complained about how these conservatives in Canada were some of the strongest defenders of Ukraine. Well, yeah, you're right. It's just like when Joe Biden was vice president, Barack Obama was president. What did they give for aid to Ukraine to prevent a war from taking place? I mind you. They gave them blankets. Donald Trump comes in and gives them actual lethal aid. And you remember, Russia wasn't invading Ukraine when Donald J. Trump was president. Again, when you have a position of strength. But instead, you know, weak leaders like Trudeau and Biden allow this invasion to take place. And then they just want us to continue to endlessly send our cash over there. So anyway, listen to the point that Molly Hemingway made.
Molly, if you look at polls, the Gallup poll suggests that American support for Ukraine has dropped. When you look at the question, American help for Ukraine, is it too much? Up to 41% now, not enough, 25, right about 33. It is shifting. And the question is whether anything Ukrainian officials can say on the ground is going to change that.
Well, and those numbers are even more dramatic when you're looking at Republican voters. So that's the American average, but even more Republican voters are frustrated with the way that we are handling the Ukrainian conflict, with sending a lot of money without clear strategy for success or having benchmarks for what would be successful. I thought that was a really touching and interesting interview with Benjamin Hall with Volodymyr Zelensky. And you could almost feel that there was a change in Zelensky's tone and his realization that this has not gone as he had predicted it would go. You know, there was a lot of promise about the spring offensive and as that carried into summer that was not borne out by the facts. And so it does seem that he is coming to terms with much more pressure from across the political spectrum in the U.S. about pushing for a negotiated end to the conflict there that has caused so much horrific damage to Ukrainians, to the people, and to the infrastructure there.
Yeah, and just listening to that soundbite there from Molly Hemingway, too, and talking about the frustrations and how, you know, even Zelensky is understanding that the rest of the world is saying, dude, this can't go on forever. The thought that comes to mind is just, you know, we as Americans, we as the American people, We know that we need another Donald Trump. We need a Donald Trump or a Ron DeSantis president. But we've seen what Donald Trump delivered, right? We need that type of an American president once again to deliver for the American people. But also the people of Ukraine need another president like a Donald J. Trump back in the White House. We need American strength back on the world stage. Otherwise, we're just going to see this continued sending of U.S. money overseas, more invasions, more wars, more chaos all over the world. And so the people of Ukraine also need an American president of strength as well, not just a blank check. Anyway, that's my thought. What's yours? 406-294-0970. Talking about having a plan, by the way, I know a lot of people in about 1 month from now, you're going to be thinking, okay, New Year's resolution, I'm going to lose weight. Well, let me help you with your plan, because you got to have a plan if you actually want to carry that resolution out. If you try to do it on your own, some of you can do it on your own, but really it's the accountability that's the key. Here's the thing. If you're somebody who is looking to lose weight, you want to trim down, it's just something that's been depressing you. Here's the thing. If you want to wait till after the holidays, I would just call Billings Last Diet today. Sign up for one of their free seminars. You can learn about the program. You can get a date set on the calendar for January if that's when you want to start. And then you don't have to stress out about that. You don't have to add something else to your plate this holiday season. Or if you want to get started today, you could do that too. BillingsLastDiet.com. BillingsLastDiet.com.
Fox News commentary.
Donald Trump releases a special report to celebrate Joe Biden's 81st birthday, and it's classic Trump. I'm Tommy Lahren. Find out next.
Stay on top of the latest forecast with America's Weather Team in the palm of your hands.
Here's the latest from America's Weather Center.
It's Fox Weather updates throughout your busy day, every day.
5 inches of rain by tomorrow.
Temperatures being 30 degrees above average.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com.
Our President Joe Biden turned 81 years old this week, and he doesn't look or sound a day over 105. But just to rub it in, his main 2024 challenger and our former president, Donald Trump, put out a letter from his personal physician detailing his own incredible health and weight loss. Trump's personal physician claims he has performed several comprehensive examinations of our former president since he left office, the most recent one just 2 months ago. But listen, I didn't need a physician to tell me Trump is in better physical and mental shape than old Joe. My eyes and ears can confirm that. Donald Trump is 77 years old, not exactly spring chicken, but Joe Biden makes Trump look half his age by comparison. Age is nothing but a number, but while Trump is aging like a fine wine, Joe is aging like a jug of milk. But all joking aside, it's time for Joe to retire and let someone who knows who and where they are take the reins. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless at Outkick.com.
Trusted by the Northwest, Montana owned. Online at GrizzlyGoldenSilver.com.
I love this song!
I love nachos.
Loving everything? You might be buzzed.
You know what I'd love?
Ride when it's time to head out.
If you see a buzz warning sign, call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Here's News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, Bongino, and Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, this was funny. So our producer Travis comes in. You know, I told you, even though it's Monday, we got John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, joining us in the 8 o'clock hour of the show. And so apparently he was at the door, and Travis comes in, and he's like, Mr. Jackson has arrived. Mr. Jackson. Is it Ronnie Jackson? Jesse Jackson? No, it's John Jackson. The ex-addict, the Joker from Twitter. He's with us coming up here in the 8 o'clock hour. We gotta prepare. Man, if John Jackson's going to be in the house, we got to get our stuff in a group here. We got to do some show prep here. Let's see. I was talking about, you know, how even Ukraine needs a Donald J. Trump as president once again. And some of our liberal friends are like, what are you talking about? Joe Biden's going to keep sending endless blank checks to Ukraine. What do you mean they need Donald Trump? Maybe they want to stop the war. Maybe they want to stop the carnage. And maybe we want to stop the carnage of our taxpayer dollars at the same time. That's why we need a president of strength once again. We know why we need it, but that's also why the people of Ukraine need it there. they had this was another interesting back and forth. Derek Van Orden is a Navy SEAL congressman out of Wisconsin. He was in Montana last summer. Had a great time hanging out with him and a couple other Navy SEALs. And then Congressman Michael Waltz is a Green Beret, a Florida congressman, full bird, I think. They were talking about how the Biden policies are making the world more dangerous. They were on Fox News, I think, over the weekend.
6 years, the Biden administration wants to spend $280 million on DEI initiatives, which are something people should be doing already. You just treat people with respect in uniform and out of uniform. I never recall asking anybody what political party they're affiliated with or what their sexual proclivities were in the military. We're there to fight. But if you look at the standing United States military across the globe right now, we're being mocked because the leadership in the Pentagon, and it's led by Joe Biden, has led us down a road where we have actually decreased our lethality, and that's made the world a more dangerous place.
Congressman, on top of that, the DEI approach and trying to get recruits in, is it making it harder to keep people in? And is it harder to get people in? Does that have a lot to do with the numbers?
Look, you can have the most capable military in the world, but if our enemies don't believe it is lethal and focused on defeating them, and they don't believe you have a commander-in-chief that's going to unleash them, then that's one of the reasons you see the world on fire. Derek and I served together in Afghanistan. We were on missions together. Never once were we counting how many Hispanics, African-Americans, Jewish, Christian, race, religion, any of that in the black helicopter in the middle of the night. We were focused on mission. We are focused on putting bullets on foreheads of the bad guys and defending this great nation. And that's where we have to get our military leadership. This isn't the soldiers. This is the political leaders in our Pentagon that are literally putting out goals like having a carbon neutral army, renaming bases, getting them on Chinese-made solar panels, rather than dealing with the recruiting crisis, the fact that our submarines don't work, or that many of our barracks are full of mold and feces. So these are it's just misplaced priorities.
Oh, yeah, well said there, both by Derek Van Orden, Navy SEAL congressman out of Wisconsin, and Michael Waltz, Green Beret congressman out of Florida. I'm glad I watched that clip earlier this morning because I didn't hear anything for the last 2 minutes because, John Jackson's already in the house. We just start busting up laughing. So Derek Van Orden, he says, when I was in the Navy, we didn't ask sailors what their proclivities were. And so we're just sitting here busting up laughing. So would you mind telling me what your proclivities might be? Do you have a proclivity that leans this way or a proclivity that leans that way?
So have you ever been in possession at any time of a proclivity?
What kind of magazine is that proclivity that you're carrying around there, sailor? Did you get that in a care package this Christmas?
remember back in the Clinton days, don't ask, don't tell.
Yeah, that's right. Don't you tell me about them proclivities now.
please put that proclivity back into your show.
That's right. I don't need you calling this show about them proclivities. Now, you can call about the Biden train wreck and everything, but don't you be calling about these proclivities.
I picture it. That is perfect. I'm picturing an older Southern senator right up in some committee asking those questions right there. Pardon me, sir. Can you tell us about your communist proclivities?
Now, if the gentleman would refer to the prior debate, is your proclivity to the pecan pie or pecan pie? What's your proclivity?
What would you say is how do you pronounce the month? Is it July or July?
Is it a wind turbine or a wind turbine?
That's a turbine. That's a turbine.
Now, we all know it's creek. It's not creek, but sometimes we got to say creek because we on the radio.
Montana
for
creek.
For Pete's sake. All right. We're just getting started. We got a whole nother hour yet to come with John Jackson right after this.